Welcome to episode 121 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 31st of October and the 7th of November 2014. Hunterid, that's what you wrote.
I know, I spelled Hunter wrong, you don't have to say that.
We didn't have any bonfire night or Halloween-y things on Coronation Street at all.
No, there were fireworks.
Rubbish.
It was Rob was arrested. That was the big thing this week.
Right, okay, yeah, you're right.
That was pretty much everything this week, wasn't it?
How rubbish.
They did that, but they also didn't... They didn't have any proper Halloween stuff either, did they? Their big event was the wedding. That was it. But we had Halloween, and you had a lovely Halloween costume, didn't you?
I dressed up as zombie Tina McIntyre.
You've had this in your head for, like, 6 months or so.
Yeah, ever since I bought the Michelle Keegan from Lipsy collection anorak, or whatever it is, fur trimmed parka thing, as soon as I saw it, I thought, I need that for my Halloween costume. So I bought it, and I already had some hoop earrings from when I was a pirate. So I was all set to be a chav for Halloween. And I did my makeup all, and I had my eyes bruised up, my head all bashed in. It was great.
Yeah, but we didn't tell people at the party you were Tina, because nobody would have known who she was.
Nobody knew, no, but...
You're just general chav, weren't
I basically you? Dressed up as what Rob sees in the darkness when he is lying asleep, and Tina appears before him looking very annoyed.
Angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so you can now rest in peace, can't you?
Yeah, I've retired Tina now.
Yeah.
I won't be her again next year.
Yeah, but people like that picture on Facebook we put out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Coronation Street this week. We've got like a week and a bit's worth of episodes to talk about this week, haven't we?
And a lot happened. It wasn't just a boring standard. It was an epic culmination of months and months of stories.
Was it a suitably satisfying payoff for you?
Well, we have to talk about it, won't we?
Oh, I can't wait to hear. Let's do Coronation Street history first. Now, we've got lots that happened. It was Len Fairclough's birthday this week. If he had not been... hit by a car. He would have been 90 this week.
Oh, well, you can say that about anybody any who's way. Died. If they hadn't died, they'd be X years. That's
exactly. It's a happy birthday.
The late Len Fairclough. Because he's dead.
Yes. 35 years ago, since Mavis got her budgie Harry. He was apparently stuck in her chimney breast, and a man from the RSPCA had to go and rescue it out, and she adopted it. He called it Harry.
25 years since the cabin was broken into and Rita pointed the finger at Alan Bradley, although it wasn't actually him in the end.
20 years since Sophie Webster was born.
I can't believe she's only 20.
I know. When I saw that, I thought,
she seems 25 at least.
They didn't mention that Sophie wasn't in at all this week. Sally was too busy like snooping out the windows.
Well, 20 isn't a big year, is it? Even though it should be. It's 21.
Yeah, I guess next year there'll be something that happens around this time for Sophie. And also, 20 years ago is when Deirdre proposed to Samir, her Moroccan lover.
Ooh. And a bit of tagine.
Yeah, and I think I remember that happening. So I must have been watching it for... I remember that happening, but I don't remember Sophie being born.
Mm.
But I suppose it was a bit of a non-event, I mean. If I had seen it.
15 years since the first final appearance of Ravi Desai and Maud Grimes.
Oh.
And the wedding of Sharon Gaskell and Ian Bentley. And the first appearance of Candy Stowe.
Yeah, well, that was a lot that happened 15 years ago.
What a busy week.
10 years since the Barlows and Steve took part in the Top of the Tree game show. Do you remember when that happened?
Nope.
That was I can't remember even why they weren't on the game show, but Steve Winter was trying to keep it hidden from Karen because Tracy had like roped him in, sort of tricked him into going, and that was when he they won a car, but it was all based on Steve answering a question about shoes, and he had to phone up Karen to say to ask her about which one of these is a brand of shoe or whatever. I was just some mates in the pub were asking me, not running in any bells.
No,
only
10 silly.
Years ago. What about the next one then? 5 years ago since Joe McIntyre proposed to Gail on his boat.
Yes, I remember all those shenanigans.
Gale Force boat.
And in real life, it's been 65 years since Nigel Havers was born.
Yes, Lewis Archer.
The silver-haired fox. 45 years since the first episode was recorded in colour and was broadcast in black and white.
Yes. This was
what a mess.
This was the hospital episode after the coach crash that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise this, but apparently it was only ever shown in black and white, even though it was recorded in colour.
It was so, the principle of the matter, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can, we got it in colour on that DVD special, though. So,
10 years since the abrupt ending of Granada Plus.
This is sad. Can I talk about
okay.
Granada Plus was great. That was the channel that used to show all the classic Coronation Streets that I used to watch. And I remember when that started, when I can't remember when it was, a few years after I first got Sky, and I was so excited to see all the old Coronation Streets. They started playing it from, like, 1976 or something like that. And
Did they start from that? I suppose it was to do with what format they were in, maybe.
It was, I think they wanted to start it off, they didn't want to show the black and white episodes of it because they didn't think that people would tune in to watch the black and white ones. It was when Elsie Tanner had been away for a little while and then she came back, and that was like the first episode sort of celebrating Elsie Tanner's return. And it carried on all the way up to 1994, showing 1994, the 3rd of February. And then the channel just ended. They hadn't warned the viewers that it was going to happen. It just,
that must have been really annoying.
It just got to whatever time it was and they were like, yeah, that's the end of Granada Plus. Or Plus, as I think it was called back then.
End of Granada Plus, stuff you, everybody.
Yeah, because ITV, who I think they must have owned part of it or something, wanted to launch ITV3 and they needed
the space. What a brilliant idea.
What's it called? Bandwidth or... I don't know what it's called. Satellite space to show ITV3. But by then, Classic Coronation Street had been seriously kind of shoved to one side in the channel's schedules anyway. Like, it used to be on sort of a prime time every day and everything, but by the end I think it was only like shown at the weekends or something like this, so it's a bit sad that it turned out like that. But it now nowhere shows the classic Coronation Street episodes. I wonder whether people would actually watch them if they started like on a Sky channel or Freeview channel showing them again.
I don't know.
I think probably people might have done a little bit back then because there wasn't quite so much choice and it was like a bit of a curio to see it. But if you want to watch old episodes of Coronation Street or anything, though, you can go on YouTube and...
You won't find all of them, though.
No, you won't find them all, but I think it's kind of had its chance, unfortunately.
No, exactly. But you forgot to mention, too, the exciting thing that we've acquired this week.
Oh, yes, we got a new car.
No, we've got an espresso machine.
Oh, yeah, we've got just splashing out. Yeah, if you remember from last week's episode of the podcast, we were a bit annoyed because our car had failed its MOT and we couldn't afford to get a new one. So we've had to get a new car. It's quite
you contradicted yourself.
No, we're getting a car on a scheme where we're paying a little bit at a time.
Yeah, so half to pay in installments.
It's a brand new car. I've never had a new car before.
No, it's quite incredible, really.
Yeah.
But apparently that's normal for most people, so...
Is it?
I don't know, most people have got new cars, haven't they?
Well, some of our friends have got new cars.
All of our friends have new cars.
All our friends have got their schemes, haven't they?
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, we have a new car, so if anyone was worried about us not being able to get around...
Don't worry, okay. I've been driving Michael around.
Yeah, Joe's been driving... You've been driving me around in your mum's car, haven't you?
Yeah.
But now you don't have to do that anymore.
Thank goodness.
Right.
That's enough of that. Let's get on with some street talk. Let's find out what they've been doing on Coronation Street.
Okay.
Street talk, so much to talk about. There's like 7 different storylines.
Yeah, 7 storylines. But we've got 7 episodes.
One main thing that's been happening, so much so that how many
we've got like 8 or 9 pages of notes to get through just on this one story. I think we're gonna have to seriously abridge it,
which is Trace and Donovan,
the culmination of the Trace and Donovan blood orange Barlow and the Big House, all of that. It's finally come to an end, or has it? I don't know. I mean, seeing Tracy at the end of tonight's episode, she now seems to have her sight set on getting revenge on Carlo, and then obviously Peter's going to be back out. But yeah, all the wedding stuff. Well, not all the wedding stuff. The end of the wedding stuff and the follow-up happened this week.
Which begs the question, what is going to be the next big storyline? Do you know?
Do I know what the next big storyline is?
Because I do.
What?
It's going to be about the community centre.
No,
of
there's
course.
Not going to be a community centre storyline.
Yeah, the community centre is going to be the most exciting thing on the street.
No, there's going to be a big storyline in January that I told you about the other day.
I can't tell you what. This is the good thing about me, right? Is that you can tell me it's spoiler, I just forget it.
I don't think, maybe I didn't tell you, maybe I just told you that there is something happening in January around kind of award ceremony time. But that's the next big one.
I
assume there's going to be some big Christmas stuff happening this year. I don't know what's happening at Christmas this year.
Well, nobody's having a baby, are they?
No. Although Fizz will be leaving to go and have her real life baby.
Yeah, real life ones.
But anyway, we'll talk about the Trace and Donovan storyline first, and then we will talk about all the other little storylines. So we had On His Todd, which is a bit more dramatic tonight.
Drama.
I thought tonight's episodes were a bit kind of tame and dull compared to the rest of the week.
Yeah.
It was great up to a Wednesday, and then it was a come down.
Momentum.
I mean, having Todd getting beaten up like that was obviously supposed to be kind of big and dramatic, and probably most weeks it was, but in comparison to what else has happened.
Yeah, that's the trouble. It would have been really dramatic any other week, but this week it was just like, oh, well.
Yeah, exactly.
Get well soon.
Yeah. Then we've got our Luke in the Maria.
Jeez Louise.
Boring.
Yeah, I think...
It's just like, they're inevitable. Oh, we hate each other. It's not a date.
Yeah, this is what I said to you. The Battle of Who Could Care Less is what we should call this.
Yeah, it's just so like, I hate it. Like the saying, we hate each other, but now we're going to go out and all these hilarious situations. It was kind of funny a little bit when they went to go and see that car dealer. I'm not at all interested really in that storyline. We got a bit more of the Rodwell not well storyline, a little bit left over from last week, and I think it carried on to the beginning of this week as well. Same with Scylla back, that's still not really going anywhere at all, is it, the Scylla storyline? We've had 2 weeks
really.
Of her now, and still not doing anything, apart from people are starting to realise. Yes,
wait
she
a
really,
minute, maybe she does.
She really has changed. Maybe she really isn't as exciting as she used
maybe
to be.
Maybe she's ill.
Yes. And we also had the return of the Tim illiteracy storyline, which she still doesn't have a storyline title for.
They've just still going with that one, are they? They've decided that...
They're going to plan ahead. They've decided to do it now, even though it doesn't make sense that you can't read.
Even though people think it's stupid, even though it makes no sense, they're not going to back down... No, because it's true. He really cannot read.
Yeah. And Katie seems to have got her own little storyline as well.
Oh, jolly good.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So Katie has possibly got a new man. Again, nobody really cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. But we'll get to that when we get to it. So the wedding.
What happened?
Well, we were left... Last time we were on the podcast was on that big, exciting cliffhanger on last Wednesday's episode.
Yeah,
where
we were trying to decide what was going to happen, and I wanted... Ken, yeah, so what happened was Carla came in to see Rob, who was standing at the altar waiting for Tracy to turn up, and said, I'm sorry, and we are led to believe that something has happened and she's told somebody. And I said I wanted Ken to be riding on a horse. I can't remember why, but it sounds a really good idea.
We both thought that she told
Ken, yeah.
And then he was going to be like agonising over whether to tell anybody and ride down to the village on the horseback, like you said. But I quite liked how they didn't even start Friday's episode on that scene, because it was just Amy kind of freaking out that she'd lost her flowers, and it seemed like, so what's happened? Has it jumped back in time or anything? Because everything seems relatively normal at the beginning. But it turns out that Carla hadn't told Ken after all. She'd told the police, hadn't she?
Yeah, she goes. She tells Rob that she wants to talk to him privately.
Yeah, and even then, we didn't know that Carla had told the police. They kept it a bit of a mystery for a little bit longer about what had happened. So that was quite a good start to the episode. Michelle has to, or she's almost going to ride off on horseback. She had to chase after the carriage or something, didn't she?
To get Amy's flowers back. So Carla takes Rob into a side room or something. And she says, look, you'll always be my brother and I'll stand by you. They'll be here any minute, is what she says when Michelle goes in to find out what they're doing. And Rob says, I'll take my chances, and runs off, bumps into Tracy and says, oh, I'm really sorry. She's confused. She's about to walk into Marion. What are you doing? Where are you going? Why are you leaving? He says, ask my sister, and runs away.
Yeah, nice little, good little run across the field there. Then doesn't get very far before he hides behind that tree.
Yeah, so Tracy's like, what's happened? And Carla has to tell everybody that he killed Tina.
Yeah.
And Tracy and Ken are in disbelief, and it turns out that she has phoned the police.
Do you think that was the right thing for Carla to do? Dumped her brother in?
I think it's a bit crappy to have told the police during the wedding.
Yeah.
Really, that was really horrible.
But, I mean, I don't think she was going to do it until, I think it was talking to Ken on Wednesday that tipped her over, wasn't it? Because he was saying how difficult Simon's finding it and how he's got to be the one that pulls everything together. I think probably if she could have avoided saying it at the wedding, she would have done. But, I mean, I guess she was saving a lot of trouble by making sure the wedding didn't go ahead. That would have made things a lot messier, wouldn't it? If they'd have got married and then he'd have got arrested or...
I kind of felt sorry for Rob at the very end of all of this, like I told you at the time.
Why?
Well, I'm not going to say anything until we get to the end of this storyline, but I did end up feeling sorry for him.
Mm. I think it was the right thing to do. She had to, really, and I think we know that Carla is a morally upstanding character, pretty much.
Yeah, she's not as shady as... What has she done that's wrong? I don't know. In the past, I can't think of things that she's...
Not really. I mean, she's a pretty honest businesswoman as well,
yeah,
isn't she?
Is, yeah.
So I think she had to say something. But I mean,
I'm
surprised that she told the police and not Ken. Although actually, to be honest, burdening Ken with that, maybe she wouldn't have done that as well. But she ends up having a bit of a scrap with Tracy, doesn't she, outside the wedding? And then the police turn up. Tracy isn't allowed to go home though. Police, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, they arrested her, didn't they?
She points out that Carla's the one, like, Tracy calls Carla sick and says she's ruining her wedding, and that's when they have a fight. And Carla says, you're the one that gave him his alibi. So basically, gave each other alibis, and so it's kind of her fault too. And they fight. The police break them apart, and they're really annoyed when they realise that Rob's run off, because they kind of expected to just arrive and arrest him. So Ken wants to take Tracy home, but the police won't have any of it because she's obviously really involved in this, and she's devastated, and she's saying, I just want my husband, and it's quite sad, really.
It was really sad. I mean, we said last week that we've been feeling sorry for Tracy, and definitely this week. I think Kate Ford has done a really, really good job of portraying Tracy this week. I feel so sorry for her, and she's just down in the dumps and miserable and upset, and it's like...
How you would feel if your husband or your husband to be turned out to be a murderer.
Yeah, even though she is also a murderer.
Well, you know, it takes one to know one.
there was a few like little funny bits going on the reception as well, wasn't there, with Sean fancying who was it? It was one of the waiters there or something, wasn't it? And Kirk ended up getting the guy's phone number and getting mistaken for being gay.
Oh, boring.
There's been an increase in Sean going off and having dates recently.
Are they trying to make some kind of boring...
Building up to a Sean storyline, maybe, I don't know. I liked Norris getting worried about his package again, which didn't even get mentioned after that, did it? I know, it was on a little bit, but I liked how Emily, I think it was, convinced Norris that staying around and listening to all the gossip was even preferable. More exciting than getting your parcel. And it's like, oh yeah, that's a good point,
that's
actually.
That's a point.
Also, Liz and Tony, there was a couple of shots of them as well, wasn't there? I really couldn't care less about all the Tony stuff this week. It's like they had to include him because he was part of it back then. But every time it cut to him getting worried or Liz worried about him being dragged into it and everything.
It did seem like an extra layer that we didn't really need or care about.
We didn't need it, but... because they set it up, they kind of had to.
Yeah.
The police were also suspicious of Carla as well at that point, weren't they? They were saying, well, if you knew your brother was a murderer, why didn't you tell us sooner? But she quite rightly was like, well, he told me in the middle of the night, he is my brother after all. I think she probably would have looked bad if she had gone straight to the police.
Well, she needed to think about it, didn't she? Like, anyone, like, you can't just go... thanks for telling me, I'm going to tell the police. Like, surely they understood that. Didn't they spent the night together at her apartment. How was she supposed to have even been able to get 5 minutes to tell the police? The only time she got away was probably that particular minute when she...
Yeah, so they think that she's covering for Peter or something.
And also, there was that bit when he told her and he confronted her and he was like, took her phone off her and...
Yeah, he wouldn't even let her out, actually. Because was she trying to escape on Friday?
Well, yeah.
On Wednesday, I mean.
She did try to leave, but he wouldn't let her go.
Yeah, so I don't know whether she would have gone straight to
the
police
station then
or not.
She could just say, look, he was threatening me, but she probably wouldn't say that because she doesn't want to get him in trouble.
Mm. Tracy ends up getting arrested at the end of that first episode, doesn't she? Sad. I thought it was great how Tim said they should have "just arrested" written on the back of the police car.
Yeah, naughty. Funny.
Not that he would have been able to read it, of course.
No, exactly. How does he know it doesn't even say that? Hmm?
Yeah. So do we then have interrogation scenes after that? Yeah, it's the interview room scenes. And Tracy, interestingly, still kept up the false alibi
that they were together on the night of the murder, which she really could claim if she was playing it smart. She would just say, "I fell asleep," and I don't know what happened. He could have snuck out, and that she's just saying, "Oh look, Ken just wants Peter to be let out," but the detectives don't believe her. They know that she's lying, and they say they're looking for Steph's jewelry and the murder weapon, and they reckon they know where it is. And they also accuse her of knowing that Rob had done this and giving him an alibi for that reason.
Yes.
Without realising that she's the one that needed the alibi.
Mm. So confusing.
Oh, dear.
What else do we have? We had a bit more Tony a bit later on. Tony swearing to Liz that he didn't know that Tracy had provided a false alibi. I couldn't even remember most of what happened with the Tony stuff.
Yeah, it's like I'm failing to care about that, to be honest.
Do they seem to have got away with it at the end as well? We don't know.
Well, no. I think all of this stuff to do with Tony is to give Tracy a reason to realise that she's in trouble too.
Yeah.
So...
what are we talking about on Friday?
The reason she gave the false alibi is because she was hiding the fact that she was involved in stolen goods.
Yeah,
but it makes her look bad because she gave an alibi to Rob. So she can't explain why she gave the alibi because the reason was she was saving her own skin, not Rob's skin. But in order to say that, she'd have to incriminate herself.
Well, she does in the end, doesn't she? Because she eventually cracks. Because they're like saying Rob's legal team are going to catch him, and they're going to press him and to say that he's guilty. He's going to get... and she'll get banged up for aiding and abetting. So eventually she cracks and says, I wasn't covering for Rob. He was covering for me because I was off getting stolen goods. And they kind of roll their eyes at it a little bit.
Well, she says, look, Rob wouldn't kill Tina, though. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah. So we then get to find out what's happened to Rob. He's gone, where was it? Bolton. Yeah, managed to get to.
We need to go and stay there as well.
Yeah, we need to go find that hotel next time with that. B&B. I don't even know where Bolton is. How far is it away from Manchester? I don't know. But yeah, he's found himself B&B there. Yeah, gets himself shut up. Hiding away there. It reminded me a little bit of when... Tyrone and Fizz were hiding away in that B&B in Anglesey last year.
So Carla's thinking that Rob's never going to forgive her for dobbing him in. She tells Michelle that that's the end of their relationship, and I feel sorry for Carla because she thought she'd had at least one person in her life that would be there for her, even though he screwed her over.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she's that bothered. Tracy gets let home from the police station on bail. She won't talk to Tony about what's going on.
Yeah, he's just interested in knowing whether he's safe, basically, or whether he's going to get the police knocking on his door. But Tracy's is able to be strong against him and say, look, mind your own business. But then she does have another little cry.
She has a cry, and she tries to phone Rob up, but he won't answer the phone. And meanwhile, Peter's starting to think that he's got another chance with Carla because she, in his mind, picked Peter over Rob.
Yeah, so he's mooning over that little
photo.
So
he's like, "Oh, Carla must love me again."
Yeah, which
is,
I assume when he comes out, he's on Monday, is it? He's going to be going straight around there, and he's going to get a bit of a wake-up call, I think.
Yeah. Yep. So on Monday, Tracy is wallowing, and there's a lot of storyline for today because exciting things happen. Ken points out that Tracy should be happy for Peter. But she's obviously not that foresightful, and she has nothing to live for. And he says, no, you've got Amy. And she's like, just leave me alone. Just leave me. I don't want to talk about it. Just leave me alone. Beth's standing up for Tracy and the Rovers because everyone thinks that she knows what's going on, knew what was happening. And she tells Andrea and Lloyd and Anna and everyone in Roy's Rolls that Tracy didn't deserve what happened to her, which she didn't really.
No.
I mean, she did because she's Tracy, but in the relationship with Rob, she hasn't actually done anything wrong, has she?
No, it's been a great relationship up to
now. Well, between two wrong-ins, yeah.
Yeah.
So Liz is pressuring Tony to speak to Tracy to find out that she's not going to grass him up because it's her birthday and everything Tony offers her, she's not interested in. Apart from this.
Was it on Monday's episode where they had that funny shot of Liz reading the card? Yeah. And it had the picture of the woman on the phone. That was quite good. More Peter in prison telling Cleland that he's going to be let out soon. He thinks that because Carla is the reason he got out, he's letting with a chance to get back with her. I think I'll be kind of sad to see the back of Cleland soon. I assume he's not going to be in it after
He can't sleep. Be in it anymore. He's not got anyone else but Peter that he knows.
No.
So Tracy gets a phone call. Who is it? It's Rob. Oh my goodness. He says, I'm sorry. And they have this kind of heart to heart because she's like, I need to hear you say that you killed Tina because I can't believe that you did.
Hmm.
She knows he did, but she can't believe it. And he says, oh, I didn't mean to do it on purpose. And she starts crying and says, why? And that was a very good acting, I thought. And he says, oh, everything just got out of hand. And, oh, it was just an accident. Oh, it's all Peter's fault. And I didn't mean, you know, I didn't have to kill her. She says, you didn't have to kill her. And he says, no, I felt like I either had to kill her or it was us that was going to be in trouble. Because at that point where he pushed her, or she thought he'd pushed her off, she told him, Rob never said this to Tracy, but as we remember, Tina threatened to tell the police that Rob had tried to kill her.
Mm.
When actually what happened was she fell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he had to smash her head in. It's logical, really.
The only way.
Yeah.
Not like when Tracy smashed Charlie Stubbs' head in. I mean,
that's true.
He was a nasty beat to work.
Two,
but yeah.
Out of the two, which one do you think is actually the worst murder? Because I think it's Tracy's, isn't it?
Tracy.
By a long shot.
Tracy's murder with Charlie was a brilliant murder. I mean, it was a more exciting one, I think.
It was premeditated by a huge amount.
Yeah, I mean, there was weeks of
making
people think that he was abusing her.
And then she did the evil seductress dance.
Yeah.
Like a snake charming its victim, and then clocked him on the head, as she called it.
And Rob really was just like...
panicked.
Panic, what can I do?
He was backed into
a
corner. And he had a lot at stake, whereas Tracy was in no real immediate danger from Charlie, was she? She just could have left him.
Yeah.
So, I guess, really, is this a case of reaping what you sow?
Maybe.
Is this karmic justice for Tracy?
But I mean, I think she has changed since then.
She's a mum, but she was a mum before, so who knows?
Where we get to?
Well, they're still talking, and Rob's talking about, oh, how's Amy and stuff like that, and I'm sad to say that she is a full-fledged psychopath now at this point. She wants to know where Rob is. And he asks her to meet up with him and bring some money. And she says, of course I can't do that. The police are watching me. They'll find you immediately. And he says, no, you're my only chance.
Yeah, and he can't use his cash card.
Yeah,
but he can use his mobile phone, which you'd have thought that the people would also be trying to track. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
So she hangs up on him. And then Tony appears and you kind of get the impression that he was listening, but he wasn't actually, because he doesn't do anything about this conversation.
No.
And she tells him that he doesn't need to worry about what she said to the police. He offers to help her, but she says, no, I never mentioned you. You don't need to help me. So people are reacting about the fact that Rob turned out to have murdered Tina. Like, Eva's quite shocked because she used to date him. And Arlene says she's had a lucky escape. Mm. And then Ken is chatting to Audrey about it, and he's just aghast that Rob had done such a thing. And he sort of has a bit of a gossip, and he says, oh, Rob told Simon that Peter was innocent, and I never suspected, even though I never really liked him.
We didn't have any Peter Simon at all, this week, did we?
No, I think it's probably a bit beyond his capabilities.
Well, they had Amy. She did all right, didn't she?
Amy, I told you, Amy is now a fully-fledged psychopath. And I don't know whether she's supposed to be crazy or if she just cannot act emotion, but she just was the coldest, stone cold woman.
Just
she's
took
even
a milkshake
worse
with Mary
than Tracy.
To, like,
she
pack her up.
I kind of hope that she does develop into a budding psycho because she's really, really good at it. Even if it isn't unintentional.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have a bit of a cliffhanger at the end of the first half of Monday's episode because Rob is reading about himself in the paper, and we all like to hear things about ourselves being famous, but not when it turns out we're a murderer and the police hunt is stepping up. There's a knock at the door and he can hear sirens. The police have come. Surely it must be them.
Well, we only watched that episode on Monday, didn't we? We didn't watch the second half because we left it late. So it was Tuesday when we got to find out who it actually was. And it was Tracy. And I love that that scene. It was like action cam, sort of shaky cam. And as soon as the door opens, we don't get to see the face. We just get to see this hand reaching in and slapping him. That was great.
I was a bit disappointed with the location scouting for this because it sounded like they were recording in an echo chamber.
Yeah,
and it reminded me of the sort of videos you get on the website where it's like behind the scenes, this is how we filmed it. It was just the quality wasn't very good, I didn't think. But
yeah, and there was a lot of noise to echo around, wasn't it? Because Tracy is absolutely livid at him, and she well, obviously understandably is like, how could you do this? What you've done, you've ruined everything. But they have a teary hug. And over the course of the episode, she kind of softens a bit to him. I mean, she...
Oh, I'd forgive you if you murdered Tina. Oh,
thanks. Aww. She's still saying... She says at first, look, at the end of the day, Peter's in prison because of you. But she does tell him that she might have been able to forgive him if he told the truth because she loves him. Although I don't think she says she loves him. She's like, well, you know, I would have done. But before they can go any further with that, they're interrupted by the landlord who...
She has to hide in the toilet.
Yeah.
The landlords come along and go, oh, I need to fix your lock or something like that. And
I thought that maybe he did know something, but that didn't look like he did it. Because it's like, was it a case of he'd seen the picture of Rob in the paper or something, but I don't think he had he? He just heard that there was a suspicious looking woman around. I always think about
this, right? Whenever they say, oh, manhunt, or have you seen this missing child? I just think, I couldn't tell you if I have or not. And even if I had a photo in front of me, could I spot them in a lineup of 10 people? I don't know.
I don't know.
I really honestly don't know if I'm that observant of when it comes to people's faces.
So, quite surprisingly, I think...
Maybe if they were wearing an outrageous hat, I would recognise them.
Yes.
Yes.
Quite surprisingly, Tracy agreed to go on the run with Rob on Monday.
I believe it's called being on the lam.
On the lam with Rob. And she seemed to accept that quite easily as well. Even when at the time he says, oh, say goodbye to Amy for me, she was like, yeah, okay. And it seemed almost like on Monday's episode, at least, she hadn't even realised that she was agreeing to never see Amy again. And I know. Wednesday she had that that day with her watching Titanic or whatever.
Fire.
But it just seemed like it was a bit of a snap decision from Tracy and probably not a very wise one either.
But, you know, it turns out maybe... She's smarter than we thought. So she gets back to the street. Carla sees her and says, oh, you know, I know you've seen Rob. How is he? And she's like, no, I just went to the shop.
Yeah. So Wednesday then. Tracy.
This is when Tracy gets Amy the day off school.
Yeah. I'm glad they had that scene because there were some really nice moments between Tracy and Amy on this one.
Yeah. I
mean, they do work well together, those two.
I just thought it was weird because there's Tracy sort of crying and sort of watching Titanic and Amy's talking about Rob and did he really kill Tina and stuff, and Tracy's crying and Psycho Amy is like, oh, you can hug me if you want because I miss Rob as well, even though she shows no emotion at all. I love it. I think it's great. I don't think it's what they were aiming for, but you know, it's a happy accident that they've got this crazy psycho. I like her almost as much as I like Nick. Really, there should be more TV programs with psychos on so I can indulge my cravings outside of Coronation Street. she's just crying.
Tracy's crying and they're talking about...
I love Amy. I love you so much.
Yeah.
Blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, Amy is also like an emotionless robot because she didn't cry during the beginning of Up, apparently, which everybody cries at.
Yeah, she says, oh, you know, about in Up and how Ellie was always with Carl even though she died. And she doesn't finish the sentence, but she's insinuating that I'll always be with you, Amy.
Mm.
Which makes me think at this point she hadn't quite decided what she was really doing. Because she wouldn't have really been crying and mooning over her this much. I think she only decided after she said goodbye to Amy.
I think she couldn't have thought it through properly. I mean, she got caught up in the moment because she does love Rob.
She loves Rob so much.
But I honestly think she... And this is Tracy. I mean, Tracy, as we've seen in the last... Yeah, in the last 10 years since she's had Amy, I mean, she's... Especially at the beginning, was like palming her off onto to Steve and Becky.
Yeah, yeah, she's not her main priority in life, but I think maybe she's mellowing and getting used to her and stuff.
Yeah, well, maybe...
Isn't the phrase, she's growing accustomed to her faith.
Yes, maybe this is good. Maybe this has been a bit of a wake-up call for Amy, I mean, for Tracy to realise what she almost could have lost, and she's realised that she loves Amy.
Well, anyway, Ken comes in and says, the police have found the murder weapon. So they must be hunting Rob down. And then Tracy looks a bit panicked and says she has to go to the shop to check on Todd. Maybe this is when she realises that Rob's days are numbered and she can't be on his side. Because she says goodbye and she strokes Ken's arm and Ken looks suspicious. And then Amy's like, where's Mum gone?
Yeah, Tracy steps out of the back door, and as soon as she's out, Amy's like, where's Mum? He's like a little dog, isn't it?
Yeah. She picks up her phone. She says she's ready. She gets a bag, gets in the car, which has mysteriously appeared on the street. she stares at Carla, who's standing on the street as well. And Ken comes running out and sees her and starts shouting, but she just guns it and squeals off into the distance.
I did like how it was still completely ambiguous about what she was going to do, because I didn't expect her to do what she ended up doing at the end of this. I thought that this was like her thinking, oh, this is the last time I'm going to see Dad, and I can't
got
to get away.
Carla and Ken realise what's gone on, and Tracy and Ken's like, oh, Tracy's abandoned Amy.
Silly girl.
And sort of does a bit of hamming it up.
What? William Roach hamming it up?
He wants to call the police, but Carla thinks they should wait. She obviously is a very wise woman.
So Tracy arrives at this abandoned warehouse, and it's all quite spooky. I think they should have had some like fireworks in the background or whatever because of it being the 5th of November.
They really, really should have had a bit more atmospheric. I think they added the fireworks in at the end because they could CGI them more.
Did they? They didn't have fireworks, did they?
I thought you said they did.
No, I think they should have had fireworks.
Well, they could have had the sound of fireworks.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think they should have done to add more atmosphere to it, but they didn't. So they're meeting at this abandoned warehouse. They run into each other's arms,
aww,
saying how much they love each other. And Rob's like, look, we got to go now. But she says she's not going to go with him.
She says, I'm sorry, I can't bear leaving Amy, but I love you. And Rob says, okay, I understand. I'm sorry, I ruined everything. I've got to go now. And then...
police sirens.
What? Rob starts saying, look, we've got to go, the police are nearly here. And Tracy's like, no. Okay, I'll admit it. I called the police on you.
I was quite surprised at that. I wasn't expecting that.
That was a good shock. That was a good twist. She's crying. She loves him. She's sorry. He's shouting, you've betrayed me. You've betrayed me. And she says, I couldn't go back inside again. Basically, it's her. It's him or her, isn't it, in her mind?
Yeah.
Rob has to give himself up, but he tells Tracy he's not going to forgive her.
So do you think that Tracy did the right thing?
Well, Tracy says she didn't have a choice. And he says, you did, just like Carla. Why did you do it? And this is when I felt sorry for Rob, because the two women in his life that he thought he could trust, that he loved above all others, that he confided in, betrayed him completely.
Well, that's what happens when you're a murderer, isn't it?
And the thing is that neither of them particularly could give two figs about Tina. And, you know, maybe if Rob had more of a... The crazy thing is, if Rob had had more of a motivation to have killed Tina, I think they would have been on his side. But as it is, they saw Tina as an innocent victim.
Yeah.
You know, who had done no wrong, and they couldn't possibly allow him to continue because he's such a monster. But if she had been more manipulative or horrible or...
Tracy was still dead against Tina because of everything that had happened between, well, the fact that she had this affair with Peter.
Yeah, I know, but they're not that, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Then it's not like they liked Tina, so that's why they're mad at him.
I was surprised that she didn't have to dob him in, did she? She could have just gone there and had that as her final goodbye.
Yeah.
But the fact that she actually...
No, but she had to. I think she had, the point is that she had a choice of, you can either lure Rob in, or I don't even know. You kind of get the idea that it was her idea to get the police after him, but maybe the police said to her, "You can lure Rob in, and we'll let you off your charges."
Yeah. So do we think that she's had some sort of deal with them or something?
Well, she says I couldn't go back inside, which makes me think all her problems have been solved by dobbing Rob in.
Dobbing in Donovan.
Oh, you missed that one.
I don't know. It didn't seem like a completely selfless thing that she was doing. I think.
What do you mean?
I think that she knew that if she didn't dob him in, if he was still on the run, then there was always going to be the risk of him coming back, I think she knows that at the end of the day he's not right for her, and it's not right for Amy to.
No, I don't think so. I think she just knew that it was him or her.
That sounds harsh, but I know it's Tracy we're talking about here, but...
She knew she couldn't have him, probably, because he was on the run. She couldn't have Amy.
Yeah.
And him both. So she picked Amy and her own freedom.
Thank goodness for that.
Because if you think about it, if Rob had got away, she might have ended up losing Rob and Amy if she'd gone back in prison. At least this way, she gets to keep Amy, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So he's all led away, screaming that he's been betrayed by her.
Yeah, and, I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, and that is the end of Rob. I think he's left. I think it's his last scene.
Do you think he's left?
Mark Bayliss has left the building.
Aww, what a good job he did.
So how long's Rob been in it? Has it been it's only been like a year and a half, or is it 2.5 years? I can't remember. Maybe it's 2.5 years. Yeah, because he was in it before we started the podcast, wasn't he?
I just think it's a shame that Rob's not in it anymore, because him and Tracy made the perfect villainous couple.
I know, that's what we were saying at the beginning of the year before this all happened. It was great. I mean, Tracy had finally met somebody who...
Her match.
Yeah, exactly.
Her equal.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've got, like, David and Kylie as, like, the light villainous couple, if
yeah,
you like.
Yeah, but they're more, like,
they're
meddling.
Just like, yeah, exactly.
Those meddling but kids.
I do want Tracy to be happy, and he was perfect for her.
I don't want Tracy... I don't care if he's happy or not. I just think that I enjoyed watching them together.
They had a really good chemistry, Kate Ford and Mark
Bayliss, it's kind of refreshing to see a couple that were still, like, really physically into each other. Do you know what I mean? Because a lot of the time, relationships on Coronation Street are treated as something of a joke that you just kind of like put up with because you have to get married or you have to live with someone, and it's like the old ball and chain and the bicker. Whereas even though they were a pair of wrongins, they still had that passionate spark, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. Is it? Which there isn't much.
There's not much of that on the street.
I can't imagine like looking into the future of like Maria and Luke having this relationship.
Well, I certainly can't imagine finding it funny or interesting if they did.
No, no.
Because when they did it, it was just kind of like, oh God, there they go again.
Yeah.
Rather than...
But to Friday's episode then, Tracy is just a bit depressed and feeling a bit guilty about what she's done. And lonely. She just spends most of the episode crying, doesn't she?
Yes.
She locks herself in the shop, snaps at Todd because he's all bleating on
my
about...
my family. Rah,
yeah, exactly.
Bugger off.
So she sits there crying.
Sniffing Rob's jacket.
Yeah, exactly. Breathing it in. And she won't let Scylla in part way through the episode. I felt so sorry for her.
She goes to the Rovers and she sees Carla and Ken having a celebratory drink because Peter's going to be out on Monday, and she's wearing Rob's jacket and she yells at them, and then she stalks off. And then what
do you think that she has regretted doing what she did, or does she like know it's the right decision but just sort of...
Well, we find out what she kind of comes to a decision at the end of the episode, doesn't she? Which we'll get to in a second, because Ken tells Leanne that Peter's being released, and Leanne's all like, "Oh, wow, is he drinking still?"
I forgot we're going to probably have Leanne again back next week, aren't we? It's been quite a nice break without her.
Oh, she's so boring. She goes to see Carla in the Rovers, who's slowly getting sloshed, and says, "Oh, Simon's knows that he's coming out and he's excited, but he's a bit worried too because of what he said about changing his name and stuff." That was a storm in a teacup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They bond a little bit over it, and Leanne tells Carla that she doesn't owe Peter anything.
So when Peter comes out, then what do you think? Is he going to go straight to Carla, and is she going to be at all tempted, or is she going to turn him down flat, or is maybe will they have like a night of passion or something, and then the next morning? Well, I don't know whether that kind of thing might happen. Like Carla get caught up Carla in the emotion of it.
Carla will be hard to him, but she'll collapse and probably start drinking again or something boring like that.
Oh no, I hope not. I wonder whether Peter's going to be driven back to drink again.
I just don't care about it.
I think they've finally drawn a line under that, to be honest.
I hope so, because it's not a useful or interesting thing anymore, is it? It's like,
no.
It's not illustrating.
We've seen it lots of times.
Exactly. So Beth goes around to cheer Tracy up, and they're going through the presents, and Tracy seems quite happy for some reason. And Ken says, look, I'm glad that you're feeling better. And she says the reason that she's feeling better is because she's come to a realization that everything that's transpired is Carla's fault, and that Rob had done everything for Carla, and there's only one person to blame, and it is Carla. And
she's now got her vendetta against Carla. What could she actually do, though? Because
what
Carla's
do you mean,
gonna...
what could she do?
I think Carla would outwit Tracy and beat her.
Only if she knows it's coming.
Oh, okay. So is Tracy going to maybe try and pretend to be a friend or something?
She's going to do stuff
something
like order pizzas. Ha 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 ha.
I just can't think, really, how much she can do to really, really get under Carla's skin. Because Carla's a sort of more... is sort of strong enough to...
So you're wondering how Tracy could possibly upset or make Carla's life a misery, yet we have just discussed how Tracy plotted somebody's murder over several weeks, and you think she's not capable of doing an equally terrible thing? Don't forget, she thinks her life's sort of over now because she's kind of regretting dubbing Robin, and she's probably realised that Amy is the psycho child I pointed out, and there's no point in trying to raise her like a normal kid.
I don't want Tracy to go back to being mean and horrible and plotting, though, because we really like Carla, we really like Tracy, and even though they're not going to be like best buddies or anything.
I like them in different ways. I like to watch Tracy. I don't like her as a person, like Norris.
Mm.
I find them indispensable as part of the show. Because they're quirky.
But I really have warmed to Tracy, though. I think
that's
I do. Because
you're weird.
I think I do just like her.
Aww.
And I don't want to think that she's...
She does have redeeming qualities.
She has. She's a lot more humane or human or whatever
she's
than
not
she
humane.
Used to be. And I don't like the idea that she's going back to possibly being a bit of a schemer again. Even though I suppose
it's
fun to watch.
I like it. I like underhanded scheming and plots and... revenge and vendettas.
To people who deserve it, but Carla, it's like kicking her when she's down a little bit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, that was a big storyline, wasn't it?
That's the end of that storyline.
It was a bit of a come down today, definitely, after not much happened. But all the location stuff, lots of twists, suitable ending to the Tina murder storyline. I mean, it's turned out to be the storyline of the year, hasn't it? Because I mean, at the beginning of the year we obviously had the Hayley stuff, and then there was the whole Windass Phelan storyline, which looked like it could have turned into
that petered out to nothing.
It really did, yeah. Then that could have gone on for months, but it didn't really. This is the storyline. This is what's going to be remembered as the storyline of 2014.
Yeah.
And I think it went out on a pretty good high, to be honest.
I
mean, there weren't any like big, huge, crazy
stunts
or anything.
That's the thing that lets it down.
That's why you wanted Ken and a horse.
Well,
just to make it
what can I say?
It
would have been cheap.
But yeah, pretty
they already
good.
Had the horse, is what I'm trying to say. Okay.
Right. So let's move on to the more minor storylines for this week then. So Todd first then. He's another one. It's like, has he really changed his spots? Like Tracy possibly has as well, because we didn't get to see any scheming Todd at all this week, did we? He genuinely seems sorry for everything he's done. Or maybe he's just sorry for himself because he's been abandoned and left alone.
If you ask Todd what the difference was between those two things, I don't think he would know. So he is just trying to make amends. He tells...
Well, Roy advises him.
Yeah, because... people are snubbing him.
Yeah, and didn't Todd like snap at Roy for taking away his coffee cup or something on Wednesday, and Roy gives him this...
Roy says, don't be such a bastard.
Exactly, exactly word for word what Roy said. So Todd's is like, okay, right, I'm going to try and make amends.
I'm going to try not to be such a
Viz and Tyrone want to be friends again. And they're like, nope.
No, I don't like you.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. She's obviously...
So it's like, okay.
More than Tyrone, I think. And those horrible yobs are back again.
Those youths.
Those youths are attacking Roy's rolls with eggs. I still don't particularly understand why they're targeting him specifically. But anyway, Todd makes a really pathetic attempt to chase after them, doesn't he?
I told you.
Runs 5 metres or something.
Those are probably very expensive Italian leather shoes, and the cobbles are very unforgiving.
Yeah, but he does at least offer to help Roy clean up, so he does his little good turn.
He doesn't do a very good job at it, though, does he? Because he's still cleaning it up on Friday.
Yeah, he has to get Tim to come in with the industrial strength cleaner. So Roy is like the champion, is now sort of championing Todd and saying what an amazing hero he is. Yeah. And I loved Roy going into the Rovers ordering his pint. It's just the way he said that line. How much is a pint? if that, those words had never crossed his lips before.
They probably haven't. So he buys him a drink. And as you would expect, if somebody if they offered to buy you a drink, they would sit and drink it with you.
Yeah.
But he just hands over the change and walks out.
It's giving him the money out of his little purse as well, isn't it? And who was it? Michelle was like rolling her eyes.
No, it was
Sean. Oh, yeah, Sean was there.
So. Okay, thanks very much.
And Tyrone does go up to Todd and said it was good of him when he hears what's happened with Roy.
Yeah.
So Todd's next stage in his Operation Get Family Back is to invite them all out for dinner at the Bistro on Friday. Jason is not interested.
Well, Eileen's not interested either. Eva's the only one who doesn't turn him down because it's a free meal, so...
Eileen wasn't there at the beginning, was she? But I think off-screen Jason tells Eileen and she turns him down because she's still...
She's rightfully annoyed at him.
Yeah, she's actually sticking to her guns at the moment, or she had been at least, saying, no, I'm trying to get rid of Todd. He's bad news for me.
The thing is, though, you can't do that to your family.
I know. As much as you can try, it's not going
to
last.
You just have to just hold them at arm's length and let them get on with meddling with other people and don't let them affect you is what you need to do.
It just causes... bad feeling if you try to
cut them out of your life. You can't do it, I don't think.
Not very easily, especially if he's just depends. Living down the road and working the street.
You either they've done something completely terrible and so you should never speak to them again, or it's not worth it and you should just let it water under the bridge, sort of thing.
It was a case of not worth it, but it has been good for that Todd's got a wake-up call.
Well, yeah, that's probably the only reason he's finally tried to make amends.
Yeah, he's really, because it was about this time last year that he came into it, I think. So we've known him as Evil Todd for 12 months now, and maybe it's time for him to...
I can't believe he's never not been Evil Todd.
Maybe it's time for him to get a bit more of a conscience, I don't know. But yeah, Todd's trying to... Eva will... says she'll come to the meal with
him. Eva's trying to make peace because she wants everyone to be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's not had to put up with quite as much of his...
No, not as much at all.
Bull crap.
Exactly. So Todd goes to the bistro early, wants to make sure everything's right, orders a bottle of wine, although it's one of the cheap wines. But he ends up getting stood up because Eva, she couldn't get out of work at the factory or something, somebody couldn't cover for her.
And Eileen Jason's didn't show not up because, going.
Yeah, Eileen had been able to be persuaded by Jason not to go because he finds out that Eileen later has accepted, because Todd goes around there like going, oh, come on, Mum, and Eileen, there's like a chink in her armour.
She is a mum.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it looks like Jason had persuaded her not to go. So Todd pays for it and ends up going into town and getting mugged on the way back.
Yeah, drama. That was shown, wasn't it?
And it wasn't the same people. It wasn't the Roy terrorisers that did it, was it?
I don't think so.
It was a little bit shady. You couldn't tell. It would have made more sense if it was, wouldn't it?
No, why? It makes no sense, no.
Just because of...
Manchester's full of wrong-uns.
I knew that Todd was going to get beaten up because I'd seen it like in the previews and everything, and I just assumed that it was the people who...
Maybe it was.
I don't... Yeah, but I don't think it was. That's the thing. I don't know.
I just think it would be too stupid that if it was them.
Why? I would have thought it made sense.
Why? But they what? So they've been watching him the entire time, and they just followed him to Manchester.
Well, why not? I mean, for the last month they've been chased. They've been just hanging around outside Roy's Rolls. They've obviously got nothing better to do with their lives, and they think, well, maybe we go after Todd now. I don't know.
Right, well, I don't agree with you.
But anyway, he is covered in blood when we go back to the second half of the episode. And
oh, the star of Tomorrow Today was there.
Oh, yeah.
Going, don't worry, I will help you. You just stay there. I'm going to call for an ambulance.
Jason answers the door later on to a policeman. And it said that his brother is in hospital.
Da-da-da. So they all rush to go to see... to his bedside.
Yeah, his first line being, you finally made it then.
So I know, what a bitch. Still suck. Eileen is sad and she kisses his hand and she says, I'm so, so sorry.
Well, she blames herself, doesn't she?
She thinks it's her fault.
Well, in a way it kind of is, although it obviously isn't completely. But
well,
if she
didn't
if
mug
she had,
him,
no.
Let's just be fair.
If she had gone to the bistro.
He wouldn't have been mugged, though. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah, I'm glad that she didn't turn around and blame Jason for convincing
well,
her not to go.
Well, she sort of did.
Did she?
Yes, she did. They all have to go eventually, obviously. And Todd and Eileen say, I love you, which is kind of sweet. And Jason's like, well, I'm sad my brother's hurt, but on the other hand, I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm annoyed that now Mum thinks he's all, you know, brilliant again.
Golden boy again.
So at home, Eileen's like, oh, it's all my fault. I shouldn't have listened to you, meaning Jason. And then she says, I've abandoned my baby. So no doubt he'll be moving back in post-haste on release from hospital, hamming it up and demanding everyone make some tea, probably.
Well, I don't know now whether he will have learned his lesson after all of it. But I don't know whether I want him to be nice or not, because I feel bad for Eileen.
There's too much, you know, the soap's only got room for a certain number of nice freeloaders.
Yeah,
They don't all have to be nice.
Yeah.
What I don't want is the same storyline over and over again.
Exactly, that's what I'm thinking. If he goes back and he's just sort of mean again and sort of tricking him or whatever, then it's just going to go around in circles again. So I don't know. I think we've talked about the Luke and Maria storyline now.
Yeah.
Luckily, fairly short.
Well, on Monday, Audrey is still trying to get Luke to drive her around like a chauffeur, and for some reason, even though not too long ago the garage was basically almost closing because they couldn't do any work, now they can just get rid of
Luke. They've got three people working there now, haven't
they?
Well,
you think they would be working a bit harder to try to earn money now that they've got three people to cover the, you know, all the
Kevin's
costs.
Like, yeah, fine, you go
go and drive an old lady around who's scared, why not.
But and then Maria also wants to borrow him later because
Maria's talking about buying a car and Audrey's like, oh, Luke's really good with cars, you should get him to take you.
Yes.
And so she's like, no, I don't need him. But then she goes, Luke, can you come with
me?
You
can to Lapford with me.
So he's got a hot date with a brunette that night, but he agrees to go anyway for some reason. Probably because Tyrone and Kevin let him go home early.
Yes.
So he goes, they go to meet this crazy guy who sounds just like Ashley.
I thought it was Peacock. Ashley reincarnated. He desperately wanted to be.
Is Ashley definitely dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not come back as a car salesman. I think he really wanted to make a big impression. He was almost like he was a famous actor.
He reminded me of that guy from, you know, that old Betty guy, the silly slapstick.
I don't know who you mean.
Other people will know what I mean, I hope.
So that the whole time, they're constantly reminding everybody in a hilarious way, we're not boyfriend
hilarious
and girlfriend.
And boring way.
Yeah, it's just like so inevitable. Every time they say it, it's just like, just get on with it,
it's
snog,
like two little 10-year-olds. Oh, he's sitting now, I don't fancy him. All right, well, stop doing each other's hair then.
Mm. So their little drama of the day is that they're going to get abandoned in the middle of the road.
Well, John, the guy who owns the car that they've gone to look at, goes a bit weird and dozy. So they during the test drive, so they have to pull over. It turns out that he's got diabetes and he needs his glucose tablets, and they have to get the ambulance.
And then walk back, and then they get lost, and then she gets a piggyback off of him. But they're still not going out on a date.
No. They get back to the street and it's dark, and they agree the afternoon was a nightmare. And then Luke goes off with to see this other girl. And on Wednesday, we see him on the phone to her and says, he's sort of trying to dump her, and he says, it's not you, it's me. And then she hangs up on him, quite rightly. Maria comes in to say thank you again for last night, to sort of try to move everything forward a bit more. But Luke is annoyed about this girl on the phone, and he stalks off and sort of snubs her, really. So she goes back to the salon and starts bitching about Luke to Audrey while Yasmin's getting her hair done. And Yasmin says, well, I think you've got your knickers in a twist because you fancy each other. And Maria's like, how dare you?
Yeah. But it is true, it's obvious. I thought Yasmin looked quite cool with her hair sort of done differently. So Maria and Audrey go to the pub. Then at the end of the episode, Luke is there and apologises for getting off on wrong footing with her. So they have a drink together, and she is oh so charmed by his cheeky nature.
He is quite a charming guy. I think it's lost on Maria.
I just don't see any chemistry between them particularly. There just seem to be a case of...
Oh, too here's attractive.
Here's two attractive single characters. Let's put them together because everybody has to go out with everybody at some point in this programme.
Yeah.
There must be quite an age gap between them as well, because Maria's our age, isn't she? Yeah. And he's like 10 years younger or something.
Yep, and she's got a kid.
Yeah.
So...
Has that been brought up yet? I can't even remember.
I think he's quite good with the kids.
Do you?
I always find it quite interesting that they always seem to be a bit scared to have anybody be reluctant to get into a relationship with somebody who's got kids already.
I can't remember. No, I think you're right. I think they usually
gloss over it, don't they?
Yeah. Well, the kids are hardly ever in the programme anyway. So
it's all right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I wonder how long this storyline's going to go on for. I hope it's like a short, sharp one and it's over in a few weeks. But...
There's nothing interesting about them as a couple, but equally, there's nothing that bad about them as a pairing. They're both bland at the moment.
Yeah.
Luke's actually slightly more interesting than Maria, just because he's not proven himself to be dull over and over again like she has.
She can get interesting when she goes into her mad moments, but I just can't think of who would be the right kind of person for Maria.
No, exactly.
Because we almost know so little about her, even though she's been in the show for like 15 years.
Yeah, I know. She's like an enigma.
Yeah.
She really should be either developed properly or booted out, because at the moment she's a blank slate.
Mm. It's just crazy for someone who's been in it so long.
And especially, she's such a good-looking girl, and now they've lost Michelle Keegan. I'm sure they're scrambling to try to find somebody to win Sexiest Soap Star of the Year. Yeah. I think they need to look towards some of the newer cast members, really.
Well, I think they're trying to push old Alia forward, because she's had a few nominations and things. And obviously there's Georgia May Foote.
Georgia May Foote is probably the one, and the girl who plays Sinead, and also Steph. And who's the other one?
Steph's a real asset to the show. I think if anyone needs to be
groomed
pushed forward.
For success, I think.
Definitely. So... She's great, but she's not seeing anyone at the moment.
Isn't it crazy that, like, Maria's been in it for so long, yet there's no spark about her or anything interesting about her? Steph started off on such a bad footing with us that we called her Slaggy Steph and made fun of her continuously. But now, she's a really interesting character, even though probably I would say that we know about as much about her as we do
about
Maria.
Yeah, we really don't know much about Steph, but every scene that she's in.
I actually want to know more about Steph, and I want to see more of her, whereas Maria, I'm like, sharp and cut someone's hair, Maria.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't know what they can do about the
character. I'm not interested
in
Luke. I don't want to know more about him. I'd be quite happy if he... disappears off, but at least we know that they're not going to put Luke and Steph together unless they're really desperate.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Incest. Whoa.
Or maybe it will be like, oh, we're not really brother and sister. We were just raised.
They could do actually.
They could do,
they
couldn't
could
they?
Do that.
We were just raised in an orphanage together.
Yeah.
There's so much you don't know about them.
Yeah. So
if they if they steal that idea, then we'll know something's up, because they keep taking ideas from us.
I'm sure that's not going to happen. But
I'm gonna copyright that idea.
Almost, but like Steph thinks Steph's all right on her own without a man, though. To be honest,
I know that. But to be honest, most of them are.
Yeah.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Rodwell Not Well?
Rodwell Not Well. So we had... we were building up to this Japanese date between Gail and Michael on Friday, weren't we? Because she'd borrowed Ken's kimono.
And she's washed it thoroughly, we hope.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a damp squib that in the end. I mean, all she did was put on the kimono and serve up a load of
badly made prepared
sushi.
Here's a pro tip. You can make a Osaka-style scattered donburi sushi rice. All you need to do is get a bowl, fill it with your sushi rice, which is just rice with vinegar, and then you can put your toppings, like whatever you would put inside your sushi, like smoked salmon or cucumber or tuna, whatever you like, you can just put it on the top of the bowl and eat it like that.
What's that called?
It's just called scattered sushi. And okay,
Gemma is an expert.
Here's a good simple thing you can put on. If you think you don't like sushi but you want to try it out, you can have scrambled eggs, bits of crispy bacon and asparagus tips that are boiled. Just scatter that on the top of sushi rice and it's really tasty.
Oh, thanks.
There's a tip.
Pro tip there.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Gail hasn't listened to this podcast and she just, I don't know what she did. She just vomited some rice onto a plate for him. And Kylie and David are on the warpath because, as we know, they had seen Michael and Eileen go to the hospital together.
Well, they'd seen them come back.
But they didn't know what was going on. Kylie thinks they should go easy on Michael, but David thinks that he's having it off with Eileen.
Yeah, so they get him to confess, don't they, later on that episode.
They crash the date.
They get him to confess, and he says that he's been from the hospital and his tests were positive for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
And what's that, Michael?
Well, I did go have a look on NHS Director after this, and according to that, this is a genetic condition caused by a change or mutation in one or more genes and is passed on through families. So Coronation Street are keeping it very accurate.
This is going to be very a really, really big thing in the future of medicine, I predict.
Genetic things.
Carry on.
Each child of someone with HCM has a 50% chance of inheriting the condition. About 1 in 500 of the UK population has it, although most people have few symptoms. So I think Michael, as a hypochondriac, thinks that he has going to have all of the symptoms. I wonder whether he realises. That's one thing they haven't made, I think, within the programme, that it's relatively common. Is that to say 1 in 500 people have got it?
It's not common, but
it's not totally uncommon as well.
Yeah.
So basically what happens if you've got this is that the muscular wall of your heart, the myocardium, becomes thickened, making the heart muscle stiff. I'm trying to make it sound like I know what I'm talking about, but I am just completely reading this. The thickening makes it harder for your heart to pump blood out of your heart and around your body.
You should do exercise then.
According to research, most people have it. If they treat it properly, then you can just live a normal life.
So somebody needs to
tell Michael that.
Well, he starts thinking he needs to find Gavin, because as we know from what you just said, you've got a 50% chance of having it if your parent has it.
Yeah, so he needs
to warn Gavin.
It's also because he thinks, like, oh, I'm going to die, I need to make contact with my child before I die. And Gail's saying, look, you'll regret it if you don't. But yeah, it's also to tell him, to warn him, I guess.
But yeah, what I was saying about this is that, like, the idea of having your genes kind of, like, tested to see whether you're susceptible to any medical problems
is
going to be, like, I think probably in all of our lifetimes, we'll be offered this.
Yeah, the chance to find out what we're going to die of.
For example, Angelina Jolie had the double mastectomy because she discovered that she had a very, very high chance of having breast cancer.
Mm.
So rather than waiting to have it, she decided to just get rid of her breasts so that there was less tissue to develop it. And she also keeps an eye on it and has scans and stuff. And it's such a smart idea. But on the other hand, as we've seen with Michael, it causes quite a lot of distress and worry because we're not used to, as a society and culture at the moment, knowing what ailments we have. Like, we know 1 in 20 people, blah, blah, blah. 1 in 50 people, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't mean anything. You can just pretend it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not going to be me.
Yeah, exactly. But if you know you will probably die of this, that is a very different thing. And there's a website, there's like an online service called 23andMe or something like that, which you can send your DNA sample into, and they will, not only do they tell you what you are susceptible to, but they can also hook you up with other people that are probably related to you, and they can tell you where your ancestry is from, and they have to have genetic counsellors that have to talk you through your results.
I don't think I could do it.
I would quite like to know, because at the moment, basically, you watch television and they say to you, please avoid doing this and make sure that you do that. And if you could end up getting this, so you need to be sure to whatever. But if somebody said to you, look, this is really relevant to you, you might get breast cancer, so you need to make sure that you have your scans. But it's quite unlikely that you're going to get bowel cancer, so don't worry about that too much.
I guess so.
Do you know what I mean? Because at the moment, basically, the idea is
avoid
worry about everything.
Yeah.
Worry about everything. Anything. Whereas it'd be much easier to go, like, it's probably more important for me to worry about making sure that my diet's better, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just
makes
more sense.
Well, Michael,
it's smarter,
at least,
and also it's better for the NHS too, to be able to keep an eye on people.
Mm, yeah. I guess this makes insurance difficult and stuff, doesn't it? Because you'd have to say, oh, yeah, I could get this or whatever.
No, insurance shouldn't come into it, should it?
Anyway.
But, like, this is an interesting thing, but Coronation Street has kind of, like, not gone down that path too much.
No, it's different, isn't it? I mean, Michael's going to know the kind of things that he has to do to try and live a healthy life now, but that I think the main part of the storyline isn't even going to be to do with his heart.
Mean.
It's going to be, it's the finding the long-lost son, isn't
it? I think that they've stumbled accidentally across something that's going to become more and more commonplace and controversial and discussion-worthy, without remarking on any of those points.
Yeah. So he's on Monday ringing around to try and find Gavin. They did a bit of web searching on Friday, didn't they? And they found reference to him in 2011 in London. So he goes off around the pubs on Monday, and I loved the scene where he came back drunk. I'm not going to say that he's my character of the week this week, but I think that was almost my scene of the week. Even though this is the big Robin Tracy week, when he comes stumbling back, goes and sees Norris, makes Norris Mrs. Parcel again, and then collapses on the sofa at Gail's house. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. I love a comedy drunk on Coronation Street. It's like Dennis sometimes used to get like it, didn't he? Very, very funny. After three rum and cokes as well.
Oh, he's very endearing, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's fit in really well.
He's fit in really, really well. And it was nice to see, like, the comedy side of Michael again, because he was always kind of quite funny, and having, when him and Gail were courting, it was always kind of comedic how they were doing things, and like David and Kylie sticking their fingers down the throat and everything. But he got a little bit serious over the past month or so, hadn't he, with all this heart problems, and it was just good to see the lighter side of him again. I want to see a bit more of that, but anyway, he finds out that this one bar manageress may know Gavin, but she's on holiday until next week, so I guess we find more about it then. I don't know whether I'm that bothered about him actually finding the son. I want to know more about how he integrates with the Platt family and his relationship with Gail. I'm not particularly
fussed
about.
I just don't
about.
Want him to bring in, oh, this is my son, he's a hunky guy.
Yeah. Or he's a nasty piece of work. I can just imagine his son being like Callum. Maybe it is Callum. That would be a good... No, actually, can't be Callum. That is that kind of person that I think that he might be.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of like Hayley's
geezer.
Son, isn't it? And that went nowhere, did it?
Yeah. But if they're going to have a long-lost family, wait a few years down the line until you run out of other storylines.
It's too soon for us
first.
To care that he's got a long-lost family.
Yeah, I just want to see more about how he gets on with the Platts, because the Platts haven't had that much of a storyline since... They've not had a big storyline since Michael's been in it. I mean, there's the Kylie stuff, but as a whole family unit, there's not been much that I... Anyway. So that was quite funny, seeing him getting drunk, but the whole getting Gavin, not too fussed about. Scylla, still not really doing anything. I mean, that she was in it on Friday, Monday, Wednesday, but still not much happened. Oh, Friday was when Sinead announced, revealed to everyone that Scylla's sick and they've got osteoporosis. So they basically run off and go and try and find her. They can't, but Sinead brings her back. And then for the rest of the week, she's just kind of playing happy families with them.
She just installs herself in Fizz and Tyrone's house and tries to play nice with everybody. But Chesney refuses to accept her, and he's very suspicious of her until the end of the week when she wins him over with a cassoulet. Basically, that's what happens, isn't it?
Floor cassoulet. Because it falls on the floor.
That was the mashed potatoes.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. I don't like the look of cassoulet. That always used to be.
Well, you don't like cassoulet at all, do you?
I don't think I've ever had it. I've just seen
it's
it.
It's got beans in it.
I've just seen it in jars in French supermarket. I can't remember. It looks horrible.
It's got butter beans in it. I don't know.
I can understand Chesney's reluctance to accept his mum, because I think out of the two children, he was the one.
He got
that
the raw
was,
end of the deal.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't get to see Fizz growing up with Scylla as the mum. But we got to see all these scenes of Scylla really, really mistreating Chesney and sort of abandoning him and everything. So you think, yeah, I can understand Chesney's attitude towards her. But
there's a bit of a rivalry that develops between Scylla and Beth when, for some out of nowhere, Beth starts questioning Scylla's cooking and then has to eat her words when it turns out that she actually quite liked it.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, this whole family is a huge one now, because you've got Chesney, Sinead, Fizz, Tyrone, Beth, Craig, Kirk.
Yeah.
And then Scylla.
Yeah.
And then all the kids.
Yeah, Hope and Ruby and maybe Joseph, if occasionally. Yeah, but it's a great family.
Well, family and friends.
Yeah,
and
I like that family unit. And we said when they moved into Coronation Street, whenever it was 6 months ago, that we wanted to see more storylines with them, and we've been getting them. But it's just not quite right, is it, the way that they brought Scylla back? I mean,
no.
She's got, what, another 3 or 4 weeks maybe before she goes off again for Jenny McAlpine's maternity, and it's... Something's got to happen. If all it is that over the next 3 weeks she's trying to win Chesney round, I guess she kind of does a bit at the end.
Hoping...
Sinead's the one that invited Scylla round. And...
Oh, yeah, sorry. At the end of it, Sinead invites Scylla to stay with Chesney, Beth, Kirk and...
Yeah, so I think Chesney's still a bit reluctant, but if all the storyline is going to be is like building bridges between Scylla and the others because she's got osteoporosis and we're all supposed to feel sorry for her, then that's pretty boring.
Yeah, I agree.
But they've got to get on and do something. And the other thing is they don't often have, with that family, 6 week run storyline. So it could well be that out of the 3 or 4 weeks that Scylla's got in it, she might not even be in all those episodes, so
no,
I don't know, bit of a damp squib really still so far. Katie's got a new man in the end of the week because she goes off to first aid course, which was, so we wanted there to be more things organized at the community center, and there was. Mostly the people that turned up were
girls,
girls, local residents, and most of them were there under duress as well because somebody wanted them to go.
Scared them into it.
Yeah. So hunky paramedic, what's his name? Mark. Turns up, and all the girls fancy him, particularly Izzy.
Izzy is perving.
She's gagging for it since Gary's left her. Hasn't got any action for 4 or 5 months now.
And she doesn't know how sound works either. She's sitting at the front of the thing, speaking in a normal talking voice, going, "Oh, I would mind a piece of that action. Yeah, come and stick a bandage on my new news."
and also Katie as well. So
Katie's
No, he's mine. I still always forget that Katie and Izzy are sisters sometimes. So,
I wouldn't say that to my sister, you perv.
I know. Kirk was the main highlight of that though, wasn't it, today, when he was the Mark was asking for volunteers and the guy was like, Me, put me, let me go into it.
Sorry, I sneezed.
That was a little sneeze from Jamma there. Yeah. And then he gets himself bandaged up and he does his he says that he's Kirk and he does his little what is it? What's it? That sounds Star Trek?
Oh, live long and prosper,
but you can't hold his fingers out. It is funny.
Well, he confuses Captain Kirk with Spock.
Oh, does he? See, I didn't even get that joke. He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the wrong thing. Yeah, so Katie manages to wangle
Katie
herself.
Katie Gay is, oh,
date.
Mark!
I've got some questions.
I'm a moron and I didn't listen. Can you please fill me in on all the details over a drink?
We didn't get to see any of, like, Izzy, like, looking jealously at Katie or anything, did we?
No.
Like, stalking behind her. I can imagine her, like...
I would love to see a little bit of sibling rivalry between those two.
Yeah, sort of fighting over the man.
Hmm.
I mean, I think Katie's going to win, whatever
well,
happens.
Yeah, and yeah, it would be interesting.
He does seem to take a surprisingly instant like
Yeah, he's
to
like,
her.
Yeah, fine, let's go. You're a likeable young woman.
I think it's quite unprofessional of him, to be honest. Came there to teach.
Teach? Yeah, you shouldn't. No, fornicate.
No fraternising. Fornicate?
Yeah.
Fraternise,
no,
I think.
You shouldn't fornicate with them either. Oh, is that okay, is it?
Yeah.
No, neither. No. Shouldn't do anything with them.
Aaliyah and Steph are saying how awesome that Mark is and they're fully in support of this relationship. So
well,
they need
Aaliyah
to find out she's
sort
got
of
a girlfriend.
Invites himself, herself along, like she wants to
oh, yeah,
date
some
Mark,
gooseberry,
but then
yeah.
She doesn't. She just wants to watch from the bar like a really annoying limpet.
Well, is Aaliyah still...
She fancies
kind of,
Gary, so...
Yeah, but she's keeping her options open, isn't she, with that?
Maybe she's like, well, my family will probably prefer paramedic...
Yes, that's
to a
true,
builder.
Actually. Well, Yasmin even herself seemed to be fawning over Mark just
I know.
A little bit.
What an interesting young man. Tell me more about head wounds.
Yeah, so there we go. Katie's going to be chasing
Well, she's
somebody.
Very impressed with his job. I thought she said she wanted his job.
Yeah, but
it's
actually,
talking about a different sort of job that she wants from him.
Nice. And that ends our epic...
Well, no, you forgot all about Tim.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Tim is very boring.
Him.
Tim just needs to help out with the school fate. And he tells Faye he will help, but then it turns out it involves reading.
Yeah, he's
He
comparing.
Gets very upset about it, and then he doesn't want to let her down, but he confesses to Anna that he can't read. And she says, I will help you learn how to read. Don't worry about it.
Sally
they have
thinks
a hug.
They're having an affair.
Sally thinks they're having an affair. Anna tells Owen what's going on, and rather than making fun of Tim, Owen just says, well, it took a lot of guts for him to admit it, and if you're going to teach him how to read, at least you're not nagging me, which is quite funny. And then Sally starts trying to find out why they were hugging each other, and she starts talking about... He tries to say it was because of parents' evening, or something like that. And she starts going on about how wonderful she finds parents' evening as a parent of two very gifted young women.
Yeah.
And that maybe Faye might be struggling and she should... Would Anna benefit from some of Sally's sage advice? And Tim says, no,
maybe
she's
not.
Too proud to take your advice, Sally, even though I'm sure it would be very useful.
Yeah. I'm glad that... Sally said to Tim, well, what were you doing there with Anna? I'm glad she wasn't just like now sort of for weeks switching curtains or whatever and
well,
chasing
she's accepted,
and sneaking after him.
She has accepted that that is the case at the moment, but I cannot help but think in the future there will be more clandestine meetings due to the nature of what they're doing and the fact that Tim doesn't want anyone to find out.
All I can see happening is there's going to culminate in the Christmas fate and then Sally... That ends up making Tim completely embarrass himself somehow.
Well, he can't be surely preparing to learn to read between now and Christmas.
I don't know. I mean, they learn how to drive.
Like that,
they learn how to
it?
Drive pretty quickly in Coronation Street, so maybe they'll have it reading as well. I can just imagine somehow Sally is going to really embarrass Tim at the Christmas fete. That is my prediction. Yeah,
okay.
Or it's all going to come out at the Christmas fete. Maybe Tim's not going to know how to say no to the new head at Bessie Street, and yeah, he's gonna be going along with it for the last possible moment. He's not going to be.
And then
able...
runs off.
Yeah, and then Sally's going to show him up or something. It's not very interesting particularly, and it's still on this silly storyline where I still don't particularly believe it's believable that he can't read.
Nope.
But anyway. At least it's Sally and Tim, who we like
Sally
as a couple,
and
don't
Tim.
We? That is definitely it for our epic Coronation Street week. I can't believe I forgot about that.
No.
I think, I mean, we haven't talked about character of the week, but I think we probably would agree.
It should be
Tracy. There we go. Did we say Tracy last week as well?
Well, it's unavoidable when there's so much...
Yeah, I mean, it had to be somebody from that storyline, and it was either going to be Tracy or
Rob, because
well,
we didn't see enough from his point of view. because everything was following
Tracy's reaction story. To everything.
Yeah, so yeah. I think it had to be Tracy, and I'm really glad that she's got her evil plan to get Carla back. No. Yeah.
I just think that Kate Ford has really, really, really done a good job with the character this week. She's made me feel sorry for her. She's done lots. She's done sort of anger. She's done upset. She's done sort of
joy.
Exactly. Sadness. She had everything from Tracy this week.
Wow.
And I absolutely think she's been wonderful this week. So definitely my character of the week goes to her.
And she looked radiant in her gown.
She did. She did look very nice in her wedding dress. Yeah. So,
and also, there's a Twitter account I follow called Soap Style.
Oh, yeah.
Or Soap Style UK, I forgot what it is. But we've been trying between us to work out who made Carla's amazing blazer. And I reckon it's Ted Baker. That's my story of the week.
Right.
Boring, but there you go.
No, that's fine. We haven't got a character profile this week because we thought that Street Talk would overrun, and it has. So maybe next week we'll be back with a character profile. There's also not very much news, but we'll have a cabin because we've got something else to talk about. So here it is. Okay, so like we said for the cabin, no Coronation Street news this week. I think there's probably been some spoilery kind of news, but no actor scandals or news or fashion or anything. But we do have some podcast news. We've got a competition. The first competition that we've had since for about a year and a half or so. But
Is it the Northern Cookbook?
I think that was our last competition that we did, our Northern Cookbook. But we have managed to get our hands on some Coronation Street swag at last. Thanks to the lovely people at Danilo, we have got a Coronation Street calendar to give away as a competition. This is out now. It's $8.99, but if you don't want to buy one, then you could win one in our competition. Based around the theme of families, so there's different months for different families. And I'm sure it's something that no true Corrie fan
would be without,
exactly.
How will you know what month it is?
Yeah, or which character family relates to that month. Hmm. So, what we're going to do for our competition, we haven't even probably thought about it.
I thought you were doing quite well then. Then it was revealed.
Know what I'm talking about. One thing, we haven't actually got the calendar yet. They have been sent to us, and we don't know whether we've got one or two, so we might have more than one winners. And also, unfortunately, we're going to have to say that this time we're going to restrict the competition to UK only.
Unfortunately, due to postage costs
and the amount of time it takes
really
to get there,
wouldn't be worth us. We might as well just buy it for you in Canada.
Yeah, get it shipped over by Amazon.
Because how much it costs is like it. The calendar costs $8.99. It would cost us £10 to post it to Canada. So sorry.
Sorry, Canadian people, fans. Or American fans,
or Australian fans,
or anyone
or
really that's
anyone
not, in
who's
UK
not in the
fans.
UK. Sorry.
Yeah,
we would love to give a competition prize to you guys, and we'll try to organise something at another time.
Yes, but this
calendar
is
just for UK people, because we should get some Corrie stuff too.
Yes. So I think that if you would like to enter the competition to win a calendar, you can just email us and say that you would like to be entered into the competition.
You can email us, or you can look on Facebook where we'll do a post, and you can just put your name.
Yeah, so you don't even have to answer a trivia question, because you know what I'm like with trivia questions. I think I've got an easy one, but actually it's completely obscure. But it's easy. All you have to do is say you'd like to win the calendar, and then we'll pick somebody.
Well, why don't you email us a reason why you should win, and we'll still pick it at random, but then...
Yeah, you can say whatever you want in the email. If you say, I want a calendar, give me a calendar, then that's just rude.
That's rude.
So if you ask us nicely, then we'll put you in our random selection.
Yeah, so we'll just... All the people that enter, will put them in a random number generator according to the blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
So there's no favouritism in it. It's just going to be randomly picked by a random number generator on the internet, and we're going to close it.
I think next Friday, I think we'll get it.
Really?
Out.
I think we should do a couple of weeks.
We'll see how many entries we get. So the last competition we had, we didn't get so many entries, but we've got more listeners since then. But anyway, UK people, if you're thinking that it might not be worth entering, I strongly recommend you do, because I don't know how many people.
Don't be
one
of these people that says, "Oh, I never win anything," and then you say, "Well, how many competitions have you entered?" And you say, "Oh, I don't enter competitions because I never win anything." That's just a loser's attitude.
Give it a go.
You're a winner. You can enter and win.
Yes.
That's what I say. One of the people that's listening is going to win, and this message is for you. You're a winner. Just enter.
You're not saying that all their other listeners are losers, though, are
you? No, I'm saying they're not winners.
That's different.
You can interpret it how you like.
Yes. So, yeah, maybe next week, maybe the week after, we will get the results of
I
that.
I think we should give it a good run. I mean, it's only 7th of November. You don't need a calendar for 2015 for at least a month and a half, right? So we should give it. We should give it a few weeks. Okay, we haven't even got the calendars yet.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. We will.
So organised.
Let's move swiftly on from there and round off the episode with some feedback.
It's feedback time. We've had a couple of messages and a long email, so we'll do the messages first. Rebecca. Great work again on the podcast, Michael. I agree with the character Michael. Of the week for Tracy, although Carla was brilliant too.
Yes, they both were good. I wonder whether Rebecca thinks it was Tracy again this week like we did.
Silver Bantam says, as a murderer herself, why on earth would Tracy grass up Rob to the police? It makes absolutely no sense.
Yes.
We agree.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I think it's sad. I think... Tracy's a much worse murderer than Rob, as we've already decided. But I think she had her reasons. I would like to hear her explain them to somebody else, actually.
Well, I've said as well, she might have just convinced herself that it was a miscarriage of justice now, you know.
What do you mean? What, that she didn't really murder him?
Yeah, so I don't know whether in her head she's convinced herself that she actually didn't do all that it was self-defence.
But she did
that's
say
what she tells everyone.
Oh, that's true. She did say to Amy that she clocked someone on the head.
Yeah, that's true.
I would like to hear it. She hasn't explained her reasons. You're just left to guess them.
Yeah, because she's kind of shut herself up. She's not really talking to anyone. Yeah. I mean, Beth is her... best friend now, isn't she? And I did quite like the relationship between Tracy and Beth, and they started off kind of being, well, not friends together, but they've always been
they were
close,
thrown in
I guess.
Together,
exactly,
they?
Yeah, when they were sharing that house together at the beginning. So yeah, it would be good to hear more about Tracy's side of things. But I'd like I said earlier, I think she really has grown and matured a little bit, and maybe knows it's the right
Such
thing.
An
she
an
doesn't
apologist.
Want to have. The spectre of Rob hanging over her, but it did seem today that she was regretting it. And the fact that she's now going after Carla means it's almost like she's fighting Carla for Rob almost, isn't she? She's still doing it for Rob. She's doing it as a way of apologising to Rob for grassing him up.
No, she's like, I had to dob Rob in because he murdered Tina because of Carla.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, I feel bad because I've done this. She's just convoluting everything.
But it was also that Carla grasped Rob to the police, I thought, on the wedding.
Oh, it's no, but also she said the reason that he killed Tina was because of Carla.
Yeah, definitely. So she's in her mind, she's now sort of twisted it. So all about Carla.
Mental gymnastics.
T-Ball's F comments for this week we'll end off with today. I really enjoyed the wedding episodes this week and the lead-up. Really bizarre, though, that Tracy would even consider having a hen-do when she's only got one friend, Beth, which is only a relatively recent development. I don't agree that it's a relatively recent development.
I kind of forgot that they were...
I think it's recent that they've kind of brought it back up to the fore again, but it's believable
this is what
that
I said
they're
about
friends
Sally
because they've
and...
had this going for a few years.
Sally and Gail, wasn't it? And I was like,
well,
they're not friends.
Sally and Gail have had a lot longer history,
yeah,
obviously, than Tracy and
they
Beth.
They hardly see each other.
But I like them as a friendship anyway. Seems very strange that Emily would come looking for Tracy in the pub with her card rather than wait to give it to her on the wedding day. Contrived so Tracy could be rude to Emily, I guess.
Who doesn't love a good Tracy snub?
The scenes between Rob and Carla were staggeringly good. Now, these are the ones that we said, or whether it was just me, I was left a little bit cold by them. I wasn't as... gripped by the confession scenes as I thought I would be. Even though they were both doing a great job of acting, there was just, for me, the tension wasn't there as much as it could be. It was no Norman Bates with a briefcase confession scene, I didn't think.
Well, there was no danger. Or even though Carla said she felt threatened, I think that was more to make Rob realise what he was doing than, yes, I'm scared of you.
Yeah. The email goes on, I came to the conclusion that it would be Carla that did Robin, but I didn't expect him to confess, though by the time it aired, I did know that was going to happen. You mentioned that Rob slipped up with the alibi where he and Tracy were in the house, downstairs, upstairs. But maybe it was Tracy that slipped. I forgot what they actually said back in the day.
It was Rob, because the idea was that they were upstairs because Deirdre said she came back to the house and she called up the stairs for them.
Yeah, I think I can even picture in my head her looking up the stairs.
Yeah, going, Tracy!
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what they must have said. I don't think Carla told Ken. I think what Ken said made Carla call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is what happened. Anyway, I enjoyed Tracy's misery, even though she still managed to be the selfish and self-involved one through it all.
Yes.
No professional photographer would ever allow the wedding planner or anyone else to direct the photo sessions like Michelle was doing. Karma paid her back by Tracy making her run across the field to get Amy's flowers, though. I don't know how professional photographers... I don't know what like wedding planners do, how much control they've got.
We wouldn't know.
No. But I know that Michelle is pretty bossy and she would try to boss around a photographer if she could get away with it. I liked how Mary took Amy under her wing.
We didn't mention this, but she took Amy to the Roy's Rolls during the aftermath and bought her milkshake.
Yes. She is really good with kids. The police must have given her permission to leave before the rest. Love Sally, Kevin and Tim together. Norris was tedious as usual.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing with Norris's package, I don't get it.
Because I don't care. What's going on?
This had better be an amazing package that he gets. Or was it just a little side joke for the wedding episodes? Because I kind of want to know what it is, but I can't imagine it's going to be anything actually interesting. I don't find Norris tedious. But I did like Sally, Kevin and Tim together, although I do still find it weird when they have Kevin and Tim being busy
bitchy
mates.
Isn't she a shrew?
Yeah,
Sally.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
A bit mean.
On to Michael's son Gavin and the absence of any online references after 2011. There's another reason why someone might drop out of sight for 3 years. I reckon he was in prison. He's bound to be a wrong un, or he would have looked his father up years ago if he was a nice guy. What do we think could be in prison?
He could be in prison, or he could have been fed a pack of lies about how horrible Michael is.
Yeah, because when he was ringing up other relatives, some of them were sort of not really wanting to talk to him. I don't know whether he could be in prison if there's this barmaid that possibly knows him as well.
Well, he could have come out.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I think Scylla has had a nasty reality check. She's got an illness and realises her family don't really want her around and it's her own fault. I think she's feeling vulnerable. She probably thinks she's burnt all her bridges and she's scared.
She's scared.
Scared. Yes, definitely. It is would be a reality check to have something like that happen to you, wouldn't it? But it still doesn't make particularly interesting viewing. That's a problem.
Yeah. It only would work with the way they're going with this. It would have only worked if Scylla had been a continuous character in the show who was being horrible to everybody and just being nasty. Kind of like what happened with Todd, and then got this reality check and changed her tune. As it is, she's not been in it for so long that there's no real dramatic kind of shift in her personality that we've seen.
No.
She's just come back a different person.
And there was such a big fanfare that the Scylla was coming back as well. It's like, oh, do you remember Scylla? Let's look at all these clips of all our old
she's
escapades.
A brassy blonde.
What she's like. Let's look at the let's
shameful.
Watch the wedding when with the hot tub and all that with all the exploits with Yana. Can't wait to see her back again. And then
she turns up with a cast on her arm going, oh, let me make some castle air.
It just seems like she's Wendy Peters playing Wendy Peters with a northern accent almost.
She's got her manner. I mean, she's playing Scylla perfectly, but they're not writing Scylla perfectly because she's got all her mannerisms and her little downturned, you know, how the corners of her mouth turned
I do like
down.
That look.
She still knows who Scylla is, the actress. She's still finding Scylla there, but the lines she's been given and the part, it doesn't match what she...
I tell you, the most Scylla-ish line that she had this week was when she wasn't even on screen. It was when she was calling into Tracy, trying to get into the shop. Do you remember that? And she was like, oh, well, it says your clothes, I'll screw you then, I'm going to go and take my custom somewhere else. Yeah.
Isn't there? Let's see a bit more of it.
Yeah. And
do you think that now she's got her feet under the table, she'll relax a bit more and turn back into Scylla?
Yeah, she won't be quite so kind of needy for Yeah, for their acceptance. And finally, on the subject of Percy, who was our classic character profile last week, Tibor says, Percy's main objection to Maud was indeed that she had had the affair with the American, but what bothered him is that she betrayed one of his fellow soldiers who was fighting for their home and country, expecting their wives to be faithful and loyal. A bit of extra. Thank you very much. So that's it for another Conversation Street. We're done. I hope you enjoyed our thoughts on that long wedding storyline. What else did everyone else think about it? Cher, do you think that Tracy was right to dob Robin? Was Carla right to do it? What did she have to gain? Was it for purely selfless reasons, or was she thinking about the possible future with her and Amy not really working? Or was it the future without Amy that she was worried about?
And don't you think it would have been better if Ken had been on a horse at some point?
You can say that if you want to. Let us know what you think. We'll be back next week. But in the meantime, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or leave...
If you won a prize.
Oh, yeah, don't forget competition. All you have to do is say you want to win. You can go to conversationstreet.podbean.com and leave comments there. Give us a review on iTunes. That's almost enough just to win the prize automatically. No.
Don't say that. That's a bribe.
Leave us an a message on Skype as well. It's still there. We haven't had any for a little while since that one from Miranda a few weeks ago, but our Skype line is still there. If you search for Conversation Stuart. We're Conversation Street on Skype, aren't we? We're at Conversation Stuart on Twitter. And hello to all our new followers. We've had a few more over the last few days. And we are also on Facebook as well. We are Conversation Street there. But there we go. That's it for another week.
Yeah.
Anything final to say, Gemma?
No.
Final remarks? Nothing more from Gemma.
Sorry, what do you want me to say? I've been talking for an hour and 40 minutes now.
This is your last chance in case there's anything you've not said about this week's episode.
Ken on a horse.
See you next week. The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.